You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
It's time for the lies to finally end. False promises of renewal. Change? We'll give them a real, real change now.
Hi, this is Michael Uslan. You're listening to Batman on Film.
I'm vengeance.
I have given a name to my pain.
Kill
the Bat of Gotham.
I'm Batman.
Welcome to episode number 90 of the Batman on Film Social Hour podcast. I am the founder of Batman on Film, Bill Ramey. This is my little podcast, my little show here on Batman on Film. The Batman on Film. What do we call this here? The Batman on Film channel? The BOF channel? There are several shows. What do you think, Ryan Lauer?
There's a whole nice little network here, and not just the Batpod network, like the Batman on Film network of shows that are cycling around. Yeah, I think the BOF channel.
Sure.
Sounds okay. Good. Rolls, just rolls right off the tongue.
Well, this is the Social Hour, as I said. This is my little show here, and we have been, we've had a show within a show. That would be the Batman chapter by chapter, and we're in the final stage. We're in the final run. We're at the home stretch here, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Except for the fact we are doing the credits and the 2 deleted scenes. So, but regardless of that, we are getting to the end because we're at chapter 15 of the Batman, A Real Change.
This one was all you.
Real change.
Real change.
Right?
Paul Dano? Is that you?
Can I have just a little witty banter, but it's going to be related to the Batman.
Show.
It's related to the Batman completely.
Banter.
Speaking of Paul Dano. Mm-hmm. This week, a couple days ago, Barry Keoghan has a big feature article, and it's UK GQ.
Was it GQ UK or something?
Yeah, the UK version of Gentleman's Quarterly, GQ. And in that article, he talked about how he got the role of the Joker. And he actually had heard about the movie happening, and he sent in an unsolicited audition tape to Dylan Clark, the producer, and Matt Reeves, the director and writer-producer, with him in a top hat and a cane. And it was just like demonstrating his physical acting skills, right? So it wasn't nothing. It wasn't anything that was Riddler-ish, except maybe if you want to say the bowler hat he wore. You know, it was whatever. Mm-hmm. It had really nothing to do with Batman. Ended up, according to the article, that the role had been cast and it was going to be Jonah Hill, which we'd heard about Jonah Hill before. Yeah. And I'm thinking back covering it. I think the word at the time was it was for the Penguin. I don't recall, and maybe I'm wrong, that they ever said it was for Riddler. But anyway, he bailed out of it, and the role went to Paul Dano, and I say, yes, thank goodness. I think Jonah Hill would have been fine. Jonah Hill's a pretty fine actor. But
I say, Dano, I like Jonah Hill. I think he's a good actor. Yeah. But yeah, it's, I mean, as we always see stuff like this in the performance that we do get, it's like, nah, Dano is pretty damn good.
Yeah, I was like, now after seeing it in film, I'm like, I can't really imagine anybody else playing this, you know? Mm-hmm. I think Keegan could have been great. He's a good actor. But he ended up being offered the part of the Joker based on the that little unsolicited film test screening, whatever you want to call it. Not test screening.
His audition.
Audition. Yeah. Unsolicited video audition. So anyway, I thought it was interesting. New little tidbit we got from the Batman at well after the fact here. So any thoughts on that?
I mean, not many. I thought it was interesting. I mean, I thought it was kind of cool that he did it himself. It was had a little, I mean, it was 2 minutes and it was just him walking down a hallway. You don't see him for a couple seconds and he comes back and he's got some blood. So it's open. Mm-hmm. I know, kind of messed up, open for interpretation, whatever. But I mean, I thought all that was cool. I'm glad. I was expecting as soon as I read that and I was like, oh, I wonder if that's been made public, in which immediately it kind of was. And I'm glad that there wasn't this, you know, like usual suspects with a, you know, megaphone about like, well, this looks better than what we got, or, you know, something like that. Because people have a problem. Some people have a problem with Riddler's look in this movie.
You know what? That's their problem if they have
a problem. It is. We've said since the beginning of, I don't know. Green question mark asks riddles. It's Riddler to me.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just think it's pretty cool in the end. The article itself, I think, was just a little bit more fascinating on him. It does blow my mind sometimes of when there are actors and he seems like he lives so far off the grid. Cause I almost feel like actors, it wouldn't surprise me if they were obsessed with media and, you know, they've got massive movie collections and always watching films and, you know, and all that. And then you get across somebody like this where it's like, no, he lives way off the grid.
Yeah.
It's oh, okay. But I guess, you know, when you think of anything, a lot of people, their work is like, hey, as soon as they clock out, do they continue to do the stuff that they've been doing all day? It's like, no, they usually get away from it. So now I'm ranting. I thought it was kind of cool. Glad he's the Joker.
Yeah.
We'll see him again.
Yes, it says in there that he isn't, quote unquote, officially invited back. But that, of course, we got Matt Reeves and Mattson Tomlin writing the script right now. So we don't know who or what's going to be in it. But I'm pretty sure we'll see Barry Keoghan as the Joker at some point.
Yeah.
And in the Batman universe films. And he said, hey, when I get the call, I'm there, man. I'm there.
Yeah.
You know, so he's really, I'm sure, excited for more.
Yeah.
For more Joker.
Do you think if and when he comes back that his look will change of the Joker? I'm not saying drastically.
I could see the hair. I don't think anything, the facial Lee will change. Maybe some of the sores will heal up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Seems like he's got some kind of skin affliction or whatever. Maybe he picks at it. Maybe the hair grows back in. You know, I mean, he's at Arkham. What else has he got to do but scratch his head and have hair pop out?
I just kind of felt like he was shot so skewed and covered that it does leave them open for, hey, thinking about improving or changing or whatever, making him more messed up. They have that option. It's not.
I don't think he will be like completely different. You know that, like, the Wizard 547. With the Wizard 547 on Twitter has been, you know, tweeting, you know, doing these. Here's, I'm tweeting every day until Matt Reeves changes the look of the Joker in the Batman.
You know what? We better listen to the Wizard.
Yeah, the Wizard 04795 with a cartoon avatar. Yeah, you know. No, I don't think that they're gonna care or listen to what those folks say. So, yeah, good. I don't think it'll change dramatically. I just know I'm looking forward to more of this Joker. And he said something interesting. I don't have the quote in front of me. You may recall it better. He said, to me, he's like a scarred little boy, a messed up little boy, something along those lines. And I went, see where you go with that.
Yeah, that could be, that could be scary. They leave it to where, not being like hyperbolic, but it's like these, and I'm thinking of movie Jokers, and I throw Cesar Romero in there because he was in a live action movie.
Yes.
Yeah. Each one has been different, but been had characteristics of just like what we know with Joker. Leto's was there, just not as obvious, I don't think. But I think that like this, just a little bit we had with the looks of him, of course, looks very, this is different than what we've seen before. And I think this universe even gives the opportunity of like, this could actually be like a terrifying Joker.
If you,
I don't think Ledger was terrifying. And this isn't like a knock. I didn't think he was like scary, terrifying. I just thought like he was intense, but also like darkly comic or comical. Do you know what I mean? Of like this Joker could just be flat out like, holy shit.
I think if you like showed someone a still, a colored still of Keegan in costume, you know, and he said, who is this? 8 out of 9 people would say, oh, that's the Joker. Green hair, pale skin, you know.
And this is a very neutral question. Not dumping on anyone, but it does seem like there is, can't think of like a lighter word, like a fascination or obsession of people just like, I just want classic Joker in live action. To me, I think Brian Bolland's Joker almost fits, I guess, the classic Joker look. What do you think of that for like live action?
Didn't you get that with Batman 89?
It's kind of how I feel.
I mean, you had the fall in the bat of acid, the whole 9 yards, right?
I thought that, yeah. And I to me, and obviously because that's what they were going for, is like the Marshall Rogers.
Yes.
But I mean, that's not, is that really that different from Bolland? Like his,
no. To me, the Joker, you got to have some palish skin.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have the green hair. And then after that, it is completely more of what he does, you know, his actions, his, how he's depicted. Because I think that, and I always say, you know, people will say,
how do you do Mr. Freeze without him being literally frozen and looking for diamonds?
You know, it's always that he has to be literally frozen and looking for diamonds, but I'll say, I don't think
that's spot on, by the way. That was spot on.
I don't think
practicing.
I've been walking around the house going, where are my diamonds?
Now so, Rachel's had it.
So, between me and you and Elvis voice, hey, you know, doing my fine, sir. And then I go right
in, Mr. Freeze, I'm going to watch Elvis.
Okay.
She's calling her friends like something's wrong with Bill.
Yeah. Yeah. They always, you know, they'll say, well, Mr. Freeze has to be frozen. And blah, blah. I say, you know, how do you do him? Because I've said, Mr. Freeze, you could do Mr. Freeze in a bat, you know, Matt Reeves Batman universe, the Batman universe. But I just don't see him being a literally, you know, a literal block of ice frozen in person.
Yeah.
Well, how do you do that? I'll say, well, until Batman the Animated Series, Mr. Freeze was just he was no different than, you know, Captain Cold or any of these other freaking gimmickly ice villains in the DC lore. And then of course the Paul Dini and the rest of the team gave him a very tragic backstory and motivation that was more, you know, defined Mr. Freeze to me than
I'm frozen and looking for diamonds,
you know. And I say the same thing about, you know, with the Joker. And we learned that, didn't we learn that from The Dark Knight, that being permawhite does not a Joker make.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. That's my take on the interpretation of these villains from animation, comic books to quote unquote serious live action film.
And I mean, I don't know. I do get it. If you have a dress, like, I don't know if Nolan, if there was a moment in time of Batman of not being fully suited up as Batman, I think he was always going to in Begins, but wasn't it Nolan wasn't going to have Jonathan Crane put on a mask, I thought.
Yeah.
Goyer
talked him into it.
And I'm really glad. But I know that also with some aesthetics of, okay, but what if you get the classic Joker look to you, your classic Joker look, but then the character is so different. It's like, well, then I don't know. We always just kind of say we put too much in aesthetics when it's about the character itself, but yet you can't totally dismiss the look either. But I don't know. That's just something I know that there's a lot of people there. I don't know. Just this Joker who we actually literally haven't seen completely full on reveal.
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot of people worried of the Joker's look, which is just kind of interesting to me. And I have seen a lot of what's wrong with just a classic Joker look. And I'm not disagreeing with you, but
I will say you got a whole, the first dark and serious live action big screen Batman blockbuster film was classic Joker to a T.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can argue that, well, that was Jack being Jack, but you look at him, looks like jumped out of The Laughing Fish, drawn by Marshall Rogers, what they were going for. He fell into
the
vat of acid.
Fish and Sign of the Joker, and those two, you'll see that in Strange Apparitions, one of the most highly regarded little runs in Batman history.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
You would get this. If they went with quote-unquote classic Joker,
mm-hmm.
then you'd have people go, well, you're just copying Jack Nicholson and what Tim Burton did in Batman 89. So it's like, people are going to bitch no matter what.
Yeah. And I mean, you think of that, especially like these days, I think these are artists making these movies.
Mm-hmm.
Reeves does not want to just copy anybody.
No.
Don't know Mattson Tomlin. But I, you know, starting to know more and more of his work, it seems like he likes original, not trying to copy any of these actors. Do you think Barry Keoghan wants to copy a performance? Absolutely not. Maybe be influenced by, but that's completely different than...
You look at that deleted scene, which we're going to talk about in depth during on this Batman chapter by chapter series. So I don't want to go off too much of a tangent here, and we'll get back to the topic at hand in a second. But tell me that that's not the freaking Joker getting inside Batman's head. You know,
mm-hmm.
It was just it. Well, like I said, we'll talk about it in detail, but that's that scene. Mm-hmm. Aesthetics aside, you know, whether you like it or not, I was perfectly fine with it. I thought it was, you know, scary and grotesque and cool at the same time. But his whole freaking demeanor and the way that Reeves wrote that, that's the Joker, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. It's like people just don't like because he looks gross. Yeah. It's like, well, do you want, what, you want the Joker to look cute? Like,
well, that's some not people a character do
that you want to look cute. Like,
you know, it's his actions that are supposed to be gross. He's supposed to look good. Well, that's on you. That's your interpretation. Okay.
There's another Joker
you don't
that
like
I guess
it, it's on looked you. That's...
There's another Joker that looked less gross and was talking about giving Batman reach arounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's nah.
Yeah.
Like, no, thanks.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Okay.
Coming soon. Yes. There's your tease for us talking about the Joker in the chapter by chapter.
Let's talk about a real change.
real change now.
Chapter 15 of The Batman. If you didn't know by now, we are titling A Real Change.
Yeah.
And it means two things, right? It's a riff off of A Real Change.
Mm-hmm.
Or A Real Change, which was Bella Real's campaign slogan. And now the Riddler wanting to just completely destroy Gotham City and give him a real change.
Mm-hmm.
So, so Batman, my man's back right from the get-go.
Well, Bill, the same grappling gun sound effect when that would come out, and I, you know, told you in the theater there hit Haas, yeah. And was like, I just love that. Oh my god, it's awesome!
Yeah,
when he walks towards the camera and he puts that knife back in his chest plate,
yeah,
I about overheated. Like, I freaking love that. I love it.
I wrote it down.
I love it. I don't know if was that ever mentioned. In the lead up to the movie,
no,
about
not
pulling
not,
that out for anything.
I don't think
right?
so, because you know we had the whole thing that he made that out of his parents' gun.
The parents' gun.
Not the parents' gun. The murder weapon
The murder weapon. Parents. Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
So, quote unquote, Joe Chill's gun that shot the Waynes. He made that out of their gun, which I know Kevin Smith. What was it, Detective 1027 or Detective 1000? Kevin Smith did a story that was like that. But that was in like 2019. And I know I distinctly remember us talking about it. And
yeah.
I said, I'm sorry, but I just don't think Matt Reeves so close to production changed and said, hey, this Kevin Smith story. And then was really hoping that I wasn't going to be wrong. But here I just, oh my God. I just love it. Smallest thing, but it's
another
great.
Example of, and this was in The Art of the Batman, which I highly recommend that. If you don't have it, you add it to your collection. It's mentioned in there that they wanted everything in the bat suit to have a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so the chest emblem, the bat logo, is a freaking knife of some sort. I mean, what's another? It's like a box cutter type of thing. I mean, I don't know. So it doesn't, but it, you know.
That's
what he used to. He cut through the police tape with it, and he put it back. It was awesome.
He didn't use any batarangs in this movie. Did he?
No batarangs. Okay.
So that's cool because that's what we have to look forward to. He's gonna at some point, right?
Sure.
Like definitely got to come up with something along those lines. Hopefully they're not all that sad because that'll kill people.
Yeah.
But so I mean, small thing, but I just love that.
Yeah. I guess he could throw it like a batarang. It probably decapitate somebody.
It'd get the job done.
Yeah, well,
Batman doesn't use guns.
Yeah.
He throws machetes.
Yes.
But he doesn't shoot guns.
So, yeah, that was I wrote that down to talk about that Batman going back to the Riddler's apartment and he cuts through the police tape with the chest emblem. That's an example. It It's just that little scene, and it said that's what the symbol is for. It's a tool. It's part of his. It's not just there as I'm Batman. Look at my bat, big bat chest emblem on my. You know,
see it. That's a bat. That's a bat on my chest because I'm Batman.
Because I'm Batman.
I'm Batman.
Oh, Mr. Freeze is in the bat suit now. Yeah.
I don't know. We don't have a voice for this yet, so let's just go. I'm Batman. I'm Batman. Let's just keep this. I'm Batman.
So my man Martinez is there. Are you doing? What are you doing here?
Yeah.
But at this time, it's a different. Even his tone, his inflection is different. Even when he says, "Whoa! What are you doing here?" And it's like, oh, and he just, Batman just, it's again with frickin' Pattinson. He just turns and looks at him. And it's like Martinez is like, oh, yeah, okay. You know, he just knows, you know, I'm here to do some Batmaning.
I did listen to Reeves's commentary on this, in which he, for this chapter right here, and he did specifically call out again, the actor's name is Gil Perez Abraham. And he said that like, he just kind of couldn't stop saying how much he just loved. He's like, I think he said that he liked the character of Martinez, but what Gil did with it made him like his favorite performance in the movie almost. Loved everything he did. And he said, and what I really liked with this was that Martinez is trying to be the good cop, here's rules, and Batman just keeps breaking his rules. Like, I don't care. Kind of causing it in. And he wasn't saying like he was trying to make it funny or anything, but I just thought about it. And I'm like, that is a funny little bit here. Cause even in the previous scene, you know, is Martinez, he's sitting outside, you know, on watch of the Riddler's apartment, and Batman walks through, hey, you know, and then here too. And then Batman comes breaking in here and gets the gun pulled on him by Martinez. Then Martinez kind of puts it down. And then, I mean, all the dialogue in the scene, Batman doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
It's all Martinez from Martinez.
Yeah.
And it's great.
It's Martinez with the lines and the dialogue. It's Pattinson Batman with the eyes and the expressions. Mm-hmm. It's freaking great, man. Mm-hmm. If only he had had lenses, it would have been so much better in all those scenes, right?
I think covered his mouth too.
Yes. Yeah.
And then he just moved like a robot throughout the movie.
Yeah. That's it. But yeah, he pulls the gun. And it's like he doesn't immediately know, whoa. And he has the gun. What are you doing here? And he just, you know, you can see me. He puts the gun up and it's kind of like, oh, yeah, you know, kind of, okay.
You're going to do
and
your thing.
And then I wrote down, it seems he's working with Batman kind of at that point, you know? Mm-hmm. Maybe not as much, not nearly as much as Gordon, because you know they're partners. But Batman goes straight. He finds the carpet tool, you know, and he takes it out. Oh, I don't think you should be, you know, messing with that or you know doing that or whatever. And a light bulb had gone off in Batman's head with that when he had found that murder weapon. Remember, it was in the was in the cage with the bat. Now it's evidence, but a light bulb had gone off, I guess, after talking to the Riddler. Oh, when he says, you mean you didn't figure it all out? Because the Tucker was there, left for him for a reason.
Yes. In which also Reeves had mentioned, right when Batman walks into the apartment, and there's a picture on the cupboard of Edward Nashton. You know, like it's almost like a self Polaroid. Remember those kids of just looking and smiling unmasked? And Reeves would say like that he really wanted that there, as if it is like where they're still taunting him at this point of like I'm locked away, but I'm still messing shit up. And then as you just said with the weapon, remember 14 chapters ago, and we even mentioned about how and that's why I thought the movie, it was great watching it the second time with all the information now, and now apply it to the whole movie and rewatching it, and the weapon is in focus after Riddler attacks the mayor.
Yes.
And that's like the focus. And it's almost like you don't know that that's why. It's just an artistic touch, you think.
Yeah. You think it's that. And here's the murder weapon, has a little blood on it. It's just that's all there is to it. But there's more to it. Batman at some point figures out, I got to go back. That murder weapon was left for me for a reason. And it's my man Martinez.
Yeah.
You know, that mentions, you know, that's a Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
Carpet tool.
Yeah. My uncle.
My uncle's the installer.
You know? And then I love that Pattinson's like the eyes, but it's like the slow look as you don't need to hear Batman say, oh, I got it now. It's all clicking together, sort of deal at all or anything. It's like a slow look up, and you know he's like realizing a little bit of shit.
Okay. he left a carpet tool thanks to Martinez because his uncle was an installer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
And like you just go back to what you said, he's thinking,
piecing it together.
He realizes the carpet is on the floor.
As it and usually then, should be.
Yeah. And he goes, I'm digging this shit up. So, you know, we're going to pull it up.
And what's your boy's reaction?
Whoa, 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 whoa. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah. That's good too. Yeah. What are you doing? It's almost like what are you doing? What are you doing? And it's like, it's almost like saying, no, seriously, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, there's a bunch of different last one. What are you doing?
And then
Martinez has the oh shit, like
yeah, they wrote down and I underlined it. They both see it. They both see what was underneath the carpet. A real change with a map of part of Gotham.
Which matches, I think, the last card, the one that said see you in hell for the Batman had the same outline, but it didn't say what it was or anything like that. So that's how it instantly matched.
It takes you right back to the previous scene when he goes to Arkham to talk to the Riddler and the see you in hell is that, and the Riddler saying, oh, you're not as smart as I thought you were. You know, the Riddler figured not only did he think that him and Batman were besties and partners, that when Batman came to him, he would have figured it all out. And he would, you know, he was coming to, he knew that they were going to blow up Gotham and they were going to watch it together. And that's, you know, that's when he, you didn't figure it all out. Mm-hmm. So that's part of it. Batman being a little imperfect as a detective or not getting it all until he goes back and with the help from our man Martinez that's a Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get back to this episode of The Batman, chapter by chapter, after a few words from our sponsors.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, it doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller. Find your next obsession. Or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
I remember getting that McFarlane Riddler action figure,
mm-hmm.
and it comes with a Tucker.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't know what the hell that is. You know, I didn't know it was a Tucker until I saw the movie, you know?
That's what Pete talked to me after he talked to you, after you saw the movie. And he was like, Bill said, we will know why that weapon's included with the action figure.
Yeah.
I was like, all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not only is a real change mean a lot of things that we've already talked about, you know, Belial's campaign slogan, the Riddler actually going for some real change in Gotham by blowing up along the seawall. But also it's a passcode for this final video we get to see of the Joker and the Joker. That's what I get for talking about the Joker earlier. The Riddler addressing his minions online again. Where he basically, you know, is telling them, hey, I'm locked up in here, but, you know, you're all out there and it's on. So you know what to do, basically, right?
Mm-hmm. Reeves, what did he say? In the commentary, he said of these, I feel like it was something along these lines, not directly quoted, but it was, he said terrifying a couple different times, and one here was in Dano's tone.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't speaking with the, you know, like the modulator thing. He wasn't speaking even like he was in Arkham. He just seemed very much, and especially, and I think it's very effective, very creepy as the video starts. Like, hey guys, as he's dressed in the full Riddler gear, that there is something really creepy of like, look at visually how messed up. And then him talking, it sounds, it's like every day, nothing's wrong. This is not out of the ordinary. It's just, mm-hmm. you know, hey guys.
Yeah.
It's me here. I'm going to talk about where you need to be so we can all, you know, kill some people.
Yeah.
No big deal. Like that had to be some, which we know that Reeves did, did his research on, like, you know, serial killers and stuff. And mm-hmm. it does remind me of, there was last year, or was it earlier this year, on Netflix, they did like a short mini series on like the John Wayne Gacy tapes.
Yeah.
And those were really disturbing, I said, because some of the audio that with him is how disassociated he was with his actions and seeming as if like talking normal, like, well, I didn't do anything wrong, you know. So I'm like, that's pretty freaking messed up.
Yeah.
And that's,
I watched
really
that.
How,
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's like, oh man. And that, you think about that with the Riddler, it's darkly kind of funny because it's a movie of how he looks, and then he's like, hey guys. But then it is like, more you think about it, it's like, that's pretty messed up. And Reeves said like, and then that guy's in charge of helping these people like misuse their rage they have and targeting, getting rid of it in the absolute wrong mm-hmm. way of doing it. And like you said, assembling the minions. And then as he does build, as the music builds too, and he does a real change and does the suffering and all that. And it's like, you thought you were done with Dano's performance. We were not.
It was, I like the fact that they're, you know, I say minions, but they are, it wasn't typical, you know, your comic book henchman minions, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're right. You bring that up, but they're focusing, they're angry
mm-hmm.
in Gotham, and that's understandable with all the corruption. And so the Riddler is using them and wanting to use their anger for his purpose in a wrong way, because he thinks he's right, the Riddler. Mm-hmm. He thinks he's doing the right thing.
And they're just kind of easily corruptible.
Yeah.
They're like, here's someone who knows what we're feeling, and he's telling us to do this, and by golly, that's our...
Yeah.
Which is funny, because it's not like we've talked to any of these people, but it's like, we get it.
It's cultish.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out there's some detail in the chat that's going on.
Yeah.
Along with the video that, you know, they're talking about where can you get the Riddler gear? Well, you go at the, you know, Gotham military supply, you know, surplus store. That's winter combat mask. And don't forget about the cellophane or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They mentioned that. And Riddler, you know, he says flat out, I got seven vans parked with bombs going to flood, you know, it's Gotham's day of retribution. And then they start exploding and you have Riddler making those, you know, that weird mouth going boom.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
which is, I think, great.
Yeah.
This was to me the direct Earth One. I instantly thought of Batman Earth One Volume 2, because at the end of that, Riddler has vans with bombs. And I'd wondered, and I actually paused it here to double check and make sure. So Hot Wheels, I don't know if you noticed, if you saw that Hot Wheels did a Riddler vehicle. Have you seen those?
I've seen it. I need to get one. I didn't know that. Yeah.
Pete and I spotted it and Pete has a great idea of what he wants to do with them. But I wondered, I wonder, are those the vehicles that the bombs were in? Because otherwise, it's just a very random design for Hot Wheels to just make of a military vehicle and throw the Riddler sign on it and call it the Batman, you know, the Riddler vehicle. But I paused it here. And it, I mean, here it does look it right before the first one explodes for like a couple frames. You can see it's just a white van. But it was just interesting to me if there was a deleted scene or something and it mm-hmm. was a military vehicle, but that'd have been more stretching it a little bit, because it would have been like, how the hell could this guy get, you know, military vehicles and stuff? But anyways, van's blowing up.
Yeah, he could rent the vans. You know, he doesn't mm-hmm. have to go out and buy seven vans exactly. off a lot somewhere. Of course, they're exploding, as I said, and you got Riddler enjoying it with boom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Laughing, having a good time.
Yeah. The only thing that sucks is his bestie.
Yeah.
Wasn't there with him.
Yeah. He's got a pretty decent view, though, in his cell.
Yeah. Yes.
You can see the whole city. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Room with a view.
I think Batman, and this, I think this is his only line. He turns to Martinez, call Gordon.
Call Gordon.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And Batman takes off.
Yeah, he does his disappearing act.
Yes, he does. We see these Riddler
son of a bitches.
Sons of bitches. Showing up with they're all decked out in Riddler gear that they got from Gotham military surplus with their cellophane wrap and the glasses, the whole nine. I mean, they're all little Riddler army dudes now
mm-hmm.
with rifles descending upon the Gotham Square Garden. And then Selina shows up on her motorcycle. So we had the celebration going on. Batman, you know, and then he's heading that direction. Martinez is trying to get a hold of Gordon. The bombs are going off. Selina's showing up. You know, I'm just trying to get out of town, man.
You're going to have to go get everybody else. And blah, 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 blah.
He looks down after that, you know, and there's the water's rushing in
mm-hmm.
quickly.
Yeah.
And that's yep. where we end.
Boom. End. So where the third act, the big, be interesting to think of which the start and stopping points for the big finale, broken up by the chapters. I didn't look ahead and see like when chapter 16 ends.
Mm-hmm. I haven't either.
16, 17, 18, 19's credits. So there's three.
There's three two. More of them. I double checked. Yeah.
Oh, 18 is
18's credits.
All right.
We're down the last two terms of the movie. Yeah.
Oh, snap. There you go.
So, the big finale, the big action set piece is left, as well as I think some of the best parts of the film with the aftermath and Batman.
Different levels for different reasons.
Yeah. So I really liked a lot. This was a short one. Mm-hmm. Maybe in the short, I think probably the shortest chapter we've had. You said, was it clocked in about 6 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
About 4 minutes or so shorter than the others usually. And this one was really very, had a good starting point and a good ending point that kind of felt whole, you know, for lack of a better word. And
I think there's, it's, because I was paying attention too. I think in the movie, like 2 hours and 47, and then the credits roll, and it's like 8 minutes of credits. So like now we are probably like 19 minutes left of the movie. So over two chapters, near the finish line, Bill.
Yeah.
Oh goodness.
So just to recap, what was your overall take of this scene? I really liked the Batman going, you know, back at the Riddler's apartment and the whole thing with him and Martinez. You know, it's a tucker, and you know, whoa, and all of it. It was great.
So this is, and I said I wouldn't watch it. Like, this is my eighth viewing, to where I won't start watch from beginning to end until after we finish the chapter by chapter part. And each time it has been like, oh, I know it's coming up next, and looking forward, which is really funny, looking forward to certain parts for each chapter. And so in knowing that what this chapter entailed was like, I look forward again to seeing him using the symbol knife, look forward to him and Martinez, look forward to Dano's performance in this video. The first, you know, the knife part, it's like, it's just cool, something that adds to the bat suit, and then it is like for story purposes the rest of the part. And I don't know, Dano's really effective. I think this is like another, not a wasted chapter of like, okay, let's just get through this one. It really,
it's important, I think.
It's almost like you've rolled that snowball at the top of the hill. This chapter kicks it down.
Yeah.
And now it just for the rest of the rest of the movie, we're moving.
I have never watched a movie like this where I've broken it up by scene or chapters.
Yeah.
And it's really, this has given me for sure. I've picked up some things every time I've watched it and focused in on just that, this, you know, 9 to 10 minute block. And it gave me even more appreciation just for the writing, the way it's shot, as far as the cinematography, the dialogue, the writing. It's just, especially with the performances. Pattinson, I mean, what'd he say? He had two words in this scene.
Gordon. Yeah.
And the two words he uttered weren't as effective as the him what his acting when he said nothing. Have you ever watched a movie like this? And how has it affected your how you look at the Batman and your appreciation of it, I guess is what I'm
I've never broken, no, not this. I've talked, what are we at? This is chapter 15. There's one chapter I wasn't on early on. So I've never spent 14 hours talking about a movie before. I don't, the smallest details because it's breaking up like this too. A cynical person could say this is where you can develop like nitpicks, but like, I don't know, I've told you before, I'm biggest apologist, but then our harshest critic for Batman stuff. And I just still watching it. It's the eighth viewing, and it's not, I don't know. Things don't bug me.
It's that, I appreciate, yeah,
like you said, the minute details even more.
Yes.
Is it a real change? I don't know why. I always just took it as a real change and not the play on Real.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe everybody else just thought that first viewing, and I just took it literally as, oh, it's a real change. And like, oh yeah, playing on, that's true, Bella Real. Well, that's fun.
Yeah, I mean, it is. He's saying, I'm going to a real change. Okay. Mm-hmm. You have Bella Real's motto. She's celebrating her win. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give him some real change. You think that's, mm-hmm, a real change?
Yeah.
Here's the real change.
And it's just like one example of small. And then, I mean, even more appreciation of performances too in Martinez.
Yeah.
You know, little parts, no small parts, in the Batman. So I'm not going to say like, it's made me, I liked the movie before, but now I love it or something, because yeah, I've really enjoyed it. You know, the first viewing and second viewing and stuff, but it's like you said, an appreciation for minute details, small performances, et cetera. Like the scripting is going to be another case when that script book that we'd mentioned, which is going to come out mid-November, that'll be something else. Another way to watch the movie. Let's follow along in the script book as, yeah, well.
Yes. The Batman and the script. All right. We do a whole other series.
Yeah. We're not done.
Really dissecting this film. Okay. So we're down to two chapters of the film. We are, mm-hmm, doing the credits,
mm-hmm,
which and people go, what do you mean you're going to do the credits? You're just going to go through the credits and just talk about people who worked on the film? No, we're going to talk about the shout out that Matt Reeves and company gave to all the creatives from the world of Batman that were influences. And we'll talk about that. And we'll do the two bonus scenes that were included, but were not part of the actual theatrical release.
Yeah.
And then we'll be done and we'll have to figure out something else to talk about when it comes to the Batman, but I'm sure we will.
Oh, no, I think that's when you and Pete start launching Batman Returns chapter by chapter.
I'm going to channel my inner Jerry Seinfeld and say, I tell you, I don't see that happening. But I am all for Batman on film doing chapter by chapter for all these live action Batman films, to be honest.
Why not?
So, yeah, why not? All right, plug away, sir.
Ooh, plug away. Oh, let's see. Latest review, batmanonfilm.com. I mean, that's just like the quickest one, right? Where, yeah, I just put up the latest review for the newest Batman issue that just dropped, Batman number 128. Check that out. Check out the Batman Beyond the White Knight from Sean Murphy. That review's up there. And I'll just continue to plug, look at the podcast feed. The last BOF podcast was chatting with Sean Murphy. Check out the Social Hour a few episodes ago where Bill and I got to speak to the great Lee Bermejo. Mm-hmm. And then check out my podcast, The Batman Book Club. New episode just dropped with Mr. Minnesota, Garrett Greve, where we're talking of a classic Batman story, perfect for the season, Moon of the Wolf. Which I'm sure if you're listening to this, you know what Moon of the Wolf is, whether in animated form or as the comic book story. So check that out. I haven't sent Bill that stuff and he will put that on BOF unless he decides not to. And he may tell me no. And okay, that's fine.
Yeah. It'll be there. Going off just real quick, you said wolf. Mm-hmm. I am intrigued to watch this Werewolf by Night. That's going to be a Marvel production on Disney Plus. And I'll tell you why, because I like that old, I'm a fan of the old school Universal monster movies.
You mean those? Yes. The classic monsters?
Yes.
Yeah.
I am a fan of that. And while I was a Batman fan and then a DC fan growing up, I did partake in a few Marvel comics. I did read Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. And then in the around 77, you know, later 70s, when the Incredible Hulk TV show was on with Lou Ferrigno and Bill Bixby, I got a bunch of Hulk comics. But I have several as even a younger kid, early 70s, early to mid 70s, during the 70s. I have several Werewolf by Night comics that I've purchased because I like that. So you had Spider-Man, Hulk, and then, you know, someone said, did you ever read any Marvel? Yes, I read Spider-Man. I read some Hulk and I read some Werewolf by Night. That would be basically it. No X-Men, no Fantastic Four, no Iron Man, none of that. But that probably goes back because I did like the old classic Universal monster movies. And
Michael G. Kino, always liked directing.
Yeah, directing that and scoring it. Yeah.
I've been so out of the loop pretty much with Marvel post Avengers Endgame. I haven't watched very much at all.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. This just really slipped by me. So, I mean, this is a total me thing because Pete even showed me that Straight Outta Gotham posted about it. And but yeah, I just didn't even, Michael Giacchino, I was like, holy crap, really? And I thought that it looked great. And it's going to be like, I thought it's like 40 something minutes. So it's not like it's a new series, 8 episodes or anything like that either. So it's like, it's fun to be genuinely excited about something. I mean, I'm genuinely excited about that. I think it looks,
it's
really cool and stands out as something different.
I don't have Disney Plus because, and I know, you know, people will say, you don't have Disney Plus. Well, I'm not a big Disney person, and I'm not a Star Wars guy, and I'm not a Marvel person. So I just really went, do I really need to spend any extra money on this? Because I don't, what the hell am I going
to
watch?
So yeah, what's left for you to dig in there?
So I'm thinking for this, get a free trial, watch it and cancel if they do free trials. I don't know if they do free trials for Disney Plus, but if they do, I'm gonna do that just so I can check that Werewolf by Night out.
I'm with
anyway.
I'm genuinely excited for this. And I know nothing about Werewolf by Night. I had no idea. I mean, like my knowledge on Marvel comics is very, very minimal outside of Spider-Man.
I always like a good werewolf movie, like you know, the Wolfman, old Universal film, American Werewolf in London, The Howling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, treating werewolves like horror, not funny. And it looks like this is definitely going for.
I didn't really, you know, I know it got shit on kind of, but when Universal were trying to redo and create a monster universe here
multiple times.
Yeah. And they did the Wolfman.
Yes.
With who was it? Benicio del Toro. And I didn't think that movie was all that bad.
I thought it was pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
I still watch it. And I think the look of it is awesome.
Yeah.
And I think the werewolf is intense and scary and stuff. So I don't know why it got dumped on. I like it. It's good. I think whatever.
Did I ever tell you when I was about 11, I went Halloween as a werewolf?
Did not.
Yeah.
Look at that. It's all connected.
I got this. We had like a book fair, right? And one of the books, it was like a Scholastic book, was like how to do makeup on yourself, turn you to all these monsters, you know? It was like how to build a Frankenstein flat head thing, mask, whatever, out of a paper bag, you know?
Yeah.
Of course, I did that. You put it on and then you had to cut out and then you wrap tape around. I mean, it was a whole production. You paper mache. And one of it was, you know, was how to do Wolfman. And I went as Wolfman for Halloween one year.
Nice.
Yeah.
This is the best promotion for the Batman Book Club episode that I think I've ever had. it launched us into check out Moon of the Wolf, werewolves, because why not? You know?
And yeah, we're on a whole werewolf tangent after that.
Yeah. But I mean, why not? Yeah.
So
I think it's, I mean, I'm biased. It was a good discussion with Garrett about a classic story illustrated perfectly by the great Neil Adams. So yeah, check that out.
I'll have to check it out. I'm gonna don't take my Batman card. Okay. If I say this, I don't know if I've read that.
Yeah. Or maybe a fan.
And I and if I did, it was so long ago that I don't remember. So now today I am going to do some digging in my background and find that and see if I actually
have read the original issue.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think you have the original issue?
Possibly.
Okay. There's
Where can you find it? If I wanted to read it right today, and I don't know if I have one. Is it in a collection? Is it on?
I think you have the Neil Adams Illustrated.
I believe so.
Collections. It's in volume 3 of that.
Okay.
Michael Cronenberg, who's a co-writer for the Batcave Companion book, he told me that in that, which that's the version I've read, that was recolored. He's not a fan of that recoloring. But he said Neil Adams approved that real coloring, but the best is definitely the original issue. But of course, like, how am I going to get my hands on that unless I want to break my bank account? So it would maybe be worth, like, if you've got the time today, Bill, and you think you have that actual issue, maybe that'd be fun for you to find and do a little comparison of coloring.
I've got, this would be a chore because they're stored in totes.
Oh goodness.
And I have totes stacked upon totes up in that attic area. Then I have to deal with announcer Rachel going, what are you doing? What the hell is going on here?
Batman number 255.
All right.
Just saying, it could be fun for you to track down.
I am going.
Look,
I have a mission. Yeah, so my next mission is to get out of this podcast by plugging a couple of things. No. I'm the one who went off the werewolf tangent. This is all about werewolves. So plug. Oh, all I'll say is you can find me on batmanonfilm.com, batman-on-film.com. And everything's there. You can find the social media, whatever. I will say, if you want to like what we do here and want to support the site, you can go to patreon.com, patreon.com/batmanonfilm. There's also, if you want to advertise on Batman on Film, advertisecast.com/batmanonfilm. I don't even think I need to spell that out for you. I think you're good. And other than that, I think that's it. So announcer Rachel, take us out. For Ryan, I'm Bill. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Batman Social Hour / the Batman Chapter by Chapter, and we will catch you next time.
Thanks for listening to the BOF Social Hour, Jet's official vlog and podcast on Batman on Film. Follow Jet on Twitter @BatmanOnFilm. Follow the BOF news feed on Twitter @TheBatmanOnFilm. For Jet and everyone at BOF, I'm announcer Rachel. Authoritative, definitive, the original, Batman on Film, established in 1998.
Shopify helps you sell at every stage of your business. Like that, let's put it online and see what happens stage.
And the site is live.
That we opened a store and need a fast checkout stage.
Thanks, you're all set.
That count it up and ship it around the globe stage.
This one's going to Thailand.
And that, wait, did we just hit 1 million orders stage? Whatever your stage, businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/listen.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.